Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to another session of Tafsir al-Quran, the study. As I was saying, welcome to another session of Tafsir al-Quran, the study of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we study the meaning, the understanding of the Quran. Alright. Sorry about that, just having a little bit of technical difficulty here. Okay. We should be better. So, as I was saying, where we study the meaning of the Quran, the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we strive to extract understanding, lessons, reflections, reminders, beneficial knowledge from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about ayah number 108 from Surah Al-Baqarah. As always, what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin with the recitation of the verse that we are discussing today. And then, inshallah, I will read what one of the translators of the Quran has written. And from there, we'll go into further discussion on the meaning and the understanding of the ayah of the verse of the Quran. Inshallah, bi'nillahi ta'ala. So, in ayah number 108 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِن قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدَ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. One of the translators of the Quran, he writes on this particular ayah, do you wish to demand of your messenger something similar to what was demanded of Moses? Whoever exchanges faith for disbelief has strayed far from the right path. So this is ayah number 108. Now, we of course have been studying through Surah Al-Fatiha and from the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. But in the previous session, we read about the verses in regards to the abrogation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala updates a command and a ruling within the Quran. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this question that is being posed, this rhetorical question that is being presented in the beginning is built off of the previous verse, and the verse even before that in 106, where Allah says, Alam ta'alam, that do you not realize that God is capable over everything? And then Allah said, Alam ta'alam, anna Allah lahu mulku as-samawati wal ard. Do you not realize that God, to Allah alone belongs all that which is in the heavens and the earth? Wa ma lakum min duni Allahi min waliyyin wa la naseer. And then you will have no one other than Allah as an ally and as a friend. That if you abandon Allah, if you do not believe in Allah, then there is no one else in the heavens and the earth that you can ever find who could be an ally to you and who could be a friend to you against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if that's not the case, you do realize all these things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues by saying, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ, that maybe what you really are just trying to do is that you want to make demands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to challenge the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to challenge the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're trying to, you know, as we say in our, as an expression, you're trying to show up the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're trying to confront him. And you're trying to belittle him. There's no other explanation of why you would be asking these kinds of questions, why you would be expressing the kind of cynicism and skepticism that you are expressing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no other explanation as to why you would be expressing the kind of cynicism and the kind of skepticism that you are presenting to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no other explanation for that other than the fact that you are trying to disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are trying to confront the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe you're trying to humiliate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the only explanation here. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says within that ayah. Now let's go a little bit further into the verse itself and try to understand the meaning and the some of the lessons that we can extract from this. And there's quite a bit to discuss here. First and foremost, just linguistically speaking, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا. The very first thing that we have to deal with is, Allah is saying that, if you translate it very literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, are you trying to question your messenger? أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ. You're trying to question your messenger. And that brings about a discussion. Are we not allowed to ask questions? Is asking questions something that is fundamentally prohibited, problematic? Is asking questions wrong? Are we to understand this verse that you should not ask questions? So let's take a look. So whenever we talk about the study of the Qur'an, Tafsirul Qur'an, it's very important to understand and keep in mind that there are multiple resources available to us when we interpret the Qur'an. The first, the most important, the most integral, and the most authentic resource available to us to interpret the Qur'an, to understand the Qur'an, is the Qur'an itself. Tafsirul Qur'an bil Qur'an. Where when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something within the Qur'an, we go and we look within the Qur'an, what else did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say on this particular issue? And we try to understand that. All right, Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da. All right, that parts of the Qur'an complement other parts of the Qur'an. So that's the very first thing that we should do, is that we endeavor to understand the Qur'an in light of other things that are present within the Qur'an. So here, if somebody reads this very literally and it says, that seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are you trying to ask questions of your messenger? That is there a reprimand here? Is there a prohibition here of asking questions? So let's go investigating within the Qur'an itself and see what we find on the topic of asking questions. The first thing that we will find is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That go and ask the people who have the knowledge and have understanding if indeed you do not know? So we see that there is a command in the Quran commanding us to remedy our ignorance. And what is the remedy of ignorance? It is to ask questions, to seek knowledge. As-su'alu nisf al-ilm, it is to seek knowledge. And as the scholar said, that asking good questions is half of the exercise of seeking knowledge in and of itself. Furthermore, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in numerous narrations, he talks about, you know, the importance of seeking knowledge and asking questions if you don't know something. Where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised the women of the Ansar, where he says that the women of the Ansar are very admirable women, women of faith and belief. Why? He says that they do not let modesty, they do not let modesty be an excuse in the pursuit of knowledge. But they seek knowledge, they acquire knowledge, and they don't use modesty or shyness or bashfulness, appropriateness, the excuse of appropriateness, to be an excuse from acquiring the knowledge that they need to have. And so the Prophet ﷺ praised people asking questions if it was done properly to seek knowledge and understanding of the religion. So that's the very first thing. However, when we look within the Quran and then we look to the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, the sunnah, the tradition, the prophetic tradition, we do find though that while we are being encouraged and even told to ask questions, there are indeed some kinds of questions that we are being warned about and prohibited in regards to. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that one type of question that is problematic is when a question is being asked, a question is being posed, a question is being presented solely with the intention, with the objective of challenging the person in front of you. And when it comes to such questions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are very, very problematic. That if you are asking a question, but the objective there is to try to expose the person or humiliate the person, call out the person, challenge the authority of the person that you're asking the question to, then we have a problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, Ayahs 90 through 93, and this is presented many places in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. Like when the people of Israel, Bani Israel, they said to Musa alayhi salam that indeed we shall never believe in you until you can make a spring shoot out of the earth for us. أَوْ تَكُونَ لَكَ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ فَتُفَجِّرَ الْأَنْهَارَ خِلَالَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. Or that you have a huge luscious garden of grapes, of date palms and grapevines, and then rivers and streams come gushing out of the earth in those gardens. أَوْ تُسْقِطَ السَّمَاءَ كَمَا زَعَمْتَ عَلَيْنَا كِسَفًا. Or that you make the sky fall down upon us as you keep on claiming will happen. أَوْ تَأْتِيَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ قَبِيلًا. Or you bring God in front of us. Or you bring out angels, march angels out in their true angelic form in front of us. أَوْ يَكُونُ لَكَ بَيْتٌ مِّن زُخْرُفٍ أَوْ تَرْقَى فِي السَّمَاءِ. Or you have a palace adorned with all types of gold and silver and precious metals and rubies and gems and stones. Or you are able to fly in the sky. وَلَن نُؤْمِنَ لِرُقِيِّكَ حَتَّى تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَأُهُ. Or that we will not believe in anything that you have to say, what you are presenting to us, until until you bring down upon us a huge book from the sky, from the heavens, that we can read for ourselves. And Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ that when people make these kinds of demands, قُلْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي, say that glorified be my Lord. هَلْ كُنْتُ إِلَّا بَشَرًا رَسُولًا, I am a human being and I am a messenger of God, which means that I am here to deliver the message to you, and I'm not here to, you know, perform all these kinds of feats and miracles just for your entertainment. Here's the message of Allah. Believe in it for your own good. Furthermore, in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 101, Surah number 5, ayah number 101, Allah tells the prophets, Allah addresses the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاء لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاء إِن تُبَدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ, do not ask about things that if indeed they were made available to you, then you would find them to be unacceptable. You know what you have trouble with, and then you come poking and prodding, challenging authority and asking those kinds of questions. Don't do that. So the first type of question that Allah does say is problematic in the Quran is when it's being done directly to challenge authority. The second type of question is where there's almost kind of a morbid curiosity. There's no good, there's no benefit that will come from it. I'm not asking a question that what is the meaning of this verse of the Quran, but I'm just pursuing something that has no purpose, no meaning, no benefit in it, especially not from me. And if anything, it's actually going to cause me more grief and more sorrow and more confusion and more contention. Then there's no good in pursuing that. That's typically what we call a rabbit hole, right? A rabbit hole, following Alice down the rabbit hole. That's problematic. The Prophet, and another type of question that is problematic, that is condemned within the Quran, and we've seen it already, is when Bani Israel, when Musa alayhi salam gave them the command of Allah, sacrifice a cow for Allah, and then they started asking all kinds of questions about what kind of cow, what color should the cow be, how old should the cow be, what quality of a cow. And they did that more so as trying to find some kind of an excuse or a way out of doing what they had been told to do, making a mockery of the situation. That is also prohibited in the Quran. In authentic narration of Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna a'dham al-muslimin jurman man sa'ala 'an shay'in lam yuharram fa hurrima min ajli mas'alatihi." The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of the greatest sins, one of the greatest crimes a Muslim could ever commit during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that they ask about something that was not prohibited, and then it became prohibited because they kept poking and prodding and mocking and ridiculing and questioning and challenging, and it became prohibited because of that. Another hadith of Bukhari and Muslim narrated by Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كَانَ رَسُولَهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَنْهَى عَنْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to abstain from engaging in speculation and gossip and rumor mongering. وَكَثْرَةِ السُّؤَالِ, the Prophet ﷺ forbade us and prohibited us from excessive questioning. See, there's a difference between asking and questioning and questioning, where you're like interrogating, poking and prodding, and challenging, and demanding. He told us to stay away from that. وَإِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ, and he told us to stay away from wasting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another authentic narration of Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, ذَرُونِي مَا تَرَكْتُكُمْ, if I did not get into the details of something, then leave it be. Telling the companions, if I did not get into the details of something, leave it be. Right? There's a very famous exchange where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the obligation of Hajj, And a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Afi kulli amin ya Rasulullah? Aw fi kulli amin? Do we have to go for Hajj every single year?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no, but then he told him, "Be wise. Had I said yes, you would have been obligated to go for Hajj every single year. And that would have been impossible to sustain and maintain." Don't ask questions like that. So ذَرُونِي مَا تَرَكْتُكُمْ فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِكَثْرَةِ سُؤَالِهِمْ وَإِخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, one of the things that led to the doom and the destruction of the people that came before you was their excessive questioning of everything, and them actually opposing their prophets and their messengers. فَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So when I tell you to do something, do it to the best of your ability. Don't poke and prod, don't question, don't interrogate, don't get into all these kinds of issues and trouble, but do it to the best of your ability. وَإِنْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. And when I tell you to stay away and abstain from something, then abstain from it and leave it, don't engage in it any longer. The Prophet ﷺ, he basically gave this response after the person asked the question, do we have to go for Hajj every year? And he asked three times, every year, every year, every year. And the Prophet ﷺ responded with this, don't do this. It's very detrimental, very harmful. In another narration from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, we were nuhina an nas'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an shay'in. He said that we were told to be very careful about the kinds of questions that we ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want everyone to understand this. This is more specifically about the companions because the Prophet ﷺ is still alive. Revelation is still coming down. So if they ask too many questions and if they start to poke and prod too much and more details are given, it actually becomes law. It actually becomes legislated. Because everything the Prophet ﷺ said, everything he did, everything he witnessed and approved of, taqreer, all of it became part of the deen, the religion, sharia. It became a part of the religion that we are bound by. And so the sahaba were told to even be more cautious about the kind of questions that they asked. So he says, فَكَانَ يُعَجِبُنَا أَن يَأْتِيَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَادِيَةِ فَيَسْأَلُهُ وَنَحْنُ نَسْمَعُ. He said, that's why we found it to be so... We found it to be so fulfilling that when some of these Bedouins would come to the Prophet ﷺ from outside of Medina, passing through, and because of their nature and their kind of, they are basically country folk, right? So they're very loud and very outspoken and very blunt. And so they would come and they would start asking all kinds of questions, and we would listen and get to hear all types of different questions being asked. But this is a little bit of a detail about this particular issue. So the verse starts with antas'alu rasulakum, that are you questioning your messenger? That is not a prohibition, that is not to be read, not to be interpreted in the Quran as a disapproval of asking questions. But if questions are being asked, particularly at us, particularly for us, particularly at our time. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there's a little bit more sensitivity. Because like I said, the Quran is still being revealed. Everything the Prophet ﷺ says or done is part of the religion. But even for us, what we can understand is that asking a question to seek knowledge, فَسَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You are asking to increase your knowledge and understanding and your ability to be able to live by Islam. And you're going to somebody who is knowledgeable, then absolutely. Then that's a beautiful thing to do. Then it's very, very beneficial. And that's what many of the scholars said, that somebody who's too shy to ask a question is doomed to ignorance. Is doomed to ignorance. So we should definitely seek knowledge, and the Quran says so. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged it as well. But then there are some types of questions that are problematic. If a question is being presented as a way to challenge and as a way to humiliate or as a way to debase, as a way to criticize, then it's problematic. Then it's not okay. If a question is being asked as a way of belaboring the issue in the discussion as an excuse for one's laziness and unwillingness to comply, then it's a problem, as we saw earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah. If a question is being asked out of pure skepticism and cynicism and to question authority, then it's a problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us exactly what kind of a question He's talking about. If we look in the ayah, Allah says, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلٍ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلٍ Just as Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Moses, was asked before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see that the Quran itself tells us that this is talking about, we read about it earlier, حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. When, for instance, Bani Israel came and said, we're not going to believe the message you bring from God, that you claim to bring from God, until we see God for ourselves. And then the wrath of Allah came down. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting, that if somebody is asking a question to the Prophet ﷺ of the Qur'an, of Islam, the way that Moses was being challenged, then what does that mean? وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ Somebody who exchanges their faith for disbelief. Someone who exchanges their faith for disbelief, and this is very eloquent, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially saying that if you have now come down to the level where you are challenging Allah's authority and you are questioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have essentially traded in your faith, your iman, whatever iota, whatever semblance of faith you had left, you just traded it in for disbelief. For disbelief. وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, in Surah number 10, ayah number 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ That once you abandon the truth, once you give up on the truth, once you hand in the truth, once you leave the truth, there's nothing but misguidance that remains. فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ Where are you going? What are you being deluded by? فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ What deludes you so? And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ Then that person has completely lost the straight path. Sawa can refer to something that is straight. It can also refer to the middle of something. And here it refers to the straight path, the correct path, the good path, the best path. As-sabil means path. That person has strayed from guidance and the correct way of life. The correct belief, the correct understanding, the correct iman, aqidah, Islam. That person has become lost. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And further, like I said, that this is talking about challenging the authority of the Prophet ﷺ. What also corroborates this is two narrations from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions from Mujahid, Rahimallahu ta'ala, one of the students of the Sahaba, the companions, who says, سَأَلَتْ قُرَيْشٌ مُحَمَّدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لَهُمُ الصَّفَى ذَهَبًا That the Quraysh came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and challenged him. Okay, you want us to believe in you? Then turn the mountain of Safa turn the mountain of Safa into gold. Turn the mountain of Safa into gold. قَالَ نَعَمْ The Prophet ﷺ said, okay, I understand what you're asking. وَهُوَ لَكُمْ كَالْمَائِدَةِ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ But then that will be like the food spread that was brought down from the heavens. When Bani Israel demanded that of Isa alayhi salam, that will come with consequences. In kafartum, if you then disbelieve, it's going to bring very severe consequences. فَأَبَوْا وَرَجَعُوا So then they refused and then they backed away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that why would you question and challenge the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so? Another narration, it also mentions about Huyay bin Akhtab and his brother Abu Yasir bin Akhtab. These were some of the leaders of some of the Jewish tribes who were very staunch in their opposition against the Prophet ﷺ. So they also would constantly challenge and look for different ways to try to question and challenge the authority of the Prophet ﷺ. So that's this verse is also responding to their behavior as well. And lastly and finally, something I wanted us to think about and reflect on as we conclude this discussion today is that many of the scholars of tafsir, they've discussed who exactly is this verse addressing and speaking to. Imam al-Razi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that when you read this verse initially, there's, as the narration mentioned, there's the possibility that this is addressing the people of Quraysh in Mecca. There's also the possibility that this is addressing the Jewish tribes that were in and around Medina, that were constantly questioning and challenging the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that this could also be addressing the Muslims. Because just like Bani Israel, when they came to Musa alayhi salam with a problem, we found somebody dead, murdered amongst us, we need to be able to solve this, please help us. That Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah gave the command that, okay, tell them to sacrifice a cow. And then take a part, a bone from the cow's body and touch it to the deceased, strike the deceased with it, and he will come to life and tell you who his murderer was, who the perpetrator was. And as when he comes back to them with this solution, then they start engaging in all that excessive questioning. Based off of that, we can also understand that this could also be addressing the Muslims, the believers themselves. That, okay, you believe, you accepted, you professed your iman in Allah, in the Prophet ﷺ, in the Qur'an, in Islam. However, be careful and never develop the bad habit of just kind of questioning to procrastinate and belabor a point. And because you don't feel like doing what you've been told to do, so now you're going to keep this conversation going and going and engage in excessive questioning. Because it's very dangerous and very problematic. Don't develop a morbid kind of curiosity where you start asking about things that literally have no point or benefit to them. Don't also go around, especially at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and ask the kind of questions that would lead to creating more complication and difficulty for you. Don't do that. That this could also be addressing the Muslims. So which one is it? Was it addressed to the Quraysh? Was it addressed to the Jewish tribes? Was it addressed to the Muslims? And of course, as all, you know, most of these discussions go, when we're talking about the Quran, it's all of the above. It's not A, B, C, or it's not A, B, or C exclusively. It is D, all of the above. And that is the depth, that is the breadth, that is the timelessness, that is the universality, that is the, you know, comprehensiveness of the Qur'an. التعدد في المعنى. that the Qur'an addresses so many things all at the same time. And that's how powerful and remarkable and miraculous and deep and full of gems and pearls and wisdom the Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that's why we take out this time to study the Qur'an. And for today, because this was such an important topic, because it creates, you know, it leads to so much confusion, because people, if they are misinformed or they misunderstood what was being said or what was being presented, it can lead people to be very confused. That, wait a second, are we being told don't ask any questions? Or when they hear the emphasis on asking questions, then they might come with something very challenging and very cynical and very disrespectful. And when they're told, brother, don't say that, don't talk like that, then they'll say, what? I thought you said we can ask questions. I'm asking a question. But there is a balanced understanding in the middle. Seek knowledge, enlighten yourself, improve yourself, better yourself, broaden your horizons. But don't engage in cynicism, disrespect, and do not challenge the authority of Allah and His Messenger. Don't engage in that kind of behavior. Because at the end of the day, we can't harm Allah and His Messenger. We can't harm this deen. All we do is harm ourselves. So with that, inshallah, we will go ahead and conclude here for today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that was said and heard. And inshallah, we will resume from the next ayah in the coming week, inshallah. As always, we conclude with the dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us min ahli al-Qur'an, from the people of the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.